Namaha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vindikaji. Sinnabaha are the oceans. Ratna Nikaran, heaps of jewels. Giriyaha, the hills. Anam, eatables. Chatu Vidam, four kinds of. Upayanam, presentations. Upajaruhu, brought forward. Sarve, all. Lokaha, the people in general of all planets. Sapalakaha, along with the governors. Translation: King Prithu was presented with various gifts from the general populace and predominating deities of all planets. The oceans and seas were full of valuable jewels and pearls, and the hills were full of chemicals and fertilizers. Four kinds of edibles were produced profusely. So you can repeat: King Prithu was presented with various gifts from the general populace and the predominating deities of all planets. The oceans and seas were full of valuable jewels and pearls. And the hills were full of chemicals and fertilizers. Four kinds of edibles were produced profusely. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in Ishopanishad, this material creation is supplied with all the potencies for the production of all necessities required by the living entities, not only human beings, but animals, reptiles, aquatics, and trees. The oceans and seas produce pearls, coral, and valuable jewels, so that fortunate, law-abiding people can utilize them. Similarly, the hills are full of chemicals, so that when rivers flow down from them, the chemicals spread over the fields to fertilize the four kinds of foodstuffs. These are technically known as charavya, those edibles which are chewed, leha, those which are licked up, chusha, those which are swallowed, and peya, those which are drunk. Prithu Maharaj was greeted by the residents of other planets and their presiding deities. They presented various gifts to the king and acknowledged him as the proper type of king, by whose planning and activities everyone throughout the universe could be happy and prosperous. It is clearly indicated in this verse that the oceans and seas are meant for producing jewels. But in Kali Yuga, the oceans are mainly being utilized for fishing. Shudras and poor men were allowed to fish, but the higher classes like the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas would gather pearls, jewels, and coral. Although poor men would catch tons of fish, they would not be equal in value to one piece of coral or pearl. In this age, so many factories for the manufacture of fertilizers have been opened. But when the personality of Godhead is pleased by the performance of yajnas, the hills automatically produce fertilizing chemicals, which help produce edibles in the fields. Everything is dependent on the people's acceptance of the Vedic principles of sacrifice. So, Sindhavo Ratna Nikaran Giriyo Nan Chatur Vidhan Upayanam Upajaru Asarve Lokasa Palakaha. So, Om Gana Chimaranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Umiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, you can contrast this opulence that King Prithu was experiencing with the previous problems that were there in the Earth planet when Vena was in charge. When Vena was in charge, and actually even after Vena was in charge, the Earth was not actually producing so much. actually the earth was experiencing something called post-traumatic stress. Some of you have heard of post-traumatic stress. So post-traumatic stress means you have some traumatic thing that happens, and then even though the traumatic thing's not happening anymore, then you're still reacting as if it were happening. I'll give you an example. Let's say you go to Iraq. Not that you should go to Iraq. But let's say you go to Iraq and then you see some people killed and you hear the gunfire, and every time there's a grenade being launched, you dive to the ground. So post-traumatic stress would mean that when you come back to the Western world, every time you hear a thunderbolt or a car backfire or even a pot fall on the ground, you dive to the ground. So the earth is a person. That may come as a surprise to some of you. The person's name is Bhumi. And even the non-devotees, they have this hypothesis called the Gaia hypothesis. Anyone's heard of that before? Where they consider the earth to be a living entity. And actually the earth functions as a living entity. The earth has, instead of veins, there's the rivers and the bones of the mountains. Anyway, like that. And the earth reacts to living entities that are harassing it, just like our body reacts to Shishi, Radha Madan Mohan, Gornatai, Jagannath Balabhadra. Just like our body reacts to living entities like bacteria, viruses, we have what's called an immune system. And if something comes into our body, some foreign body that's giving us trouble, the immune system attacks. You know, there's white blood cells, and there's other things that are part of the immune system. So the earth also has its immune system. And if human beings don't act properly, guess what? Then the immune system attacks the human beings. And therefore, you have problems nowadays with getting jewels from the ocean. What to speak of jewels? I mean, even vegetables from the earth. The earth is not very fertile as it used to be. And, of course, that's also due to man's improper use of the earth. Not only the demoniac consciousness, but the improper use. And therefore, there's erosion, soil erosion, and other things happening. Also, atom bombs going off and drilling into the earth, like Prabhupada commented that about Hiranyaksha, who disturbed the earth, and the earth actually fell down into the Garbhadak Ocean. He said in the same way, you know, people who are drilling into the earth. And, of course, in Canada, you have these people who are just, like, raping the earth in northern Canada, isn't it? Just to get some oily oil sands.
Yes, yes.
You have that here?
Oh, yeah, terrible.
Terrible. And putting so much the United States, we have this thing called fracking. Anyone's heard of that before? Mm-hmm. Fracking means, in order to get the gas out of the ground, they're not talking about oil right now, they pump in this really heavy compressed air. It's like explosions in the ground. And water, you know, compressed, everything. And then it's polluting the water table so that, so much so that people open up their faucets and there's fire coming out of them. Yes, it's actually a fact. They open up, you know, the kitchen faucet, and somehow or other, if there's something that ignites it, you know, gas comes out of the faucet. What to speak of other polluting factors? They'd light a match near the faucet, then go, it's like a blowtorch coming out of your faucet. So people are doing all sorts of crazy things now to the Earth planet, to try to extract what they think is wealth. Of course, in the Vedic system, we know wealth means land and cows and jewels and all those other nice things. But in the modern system, wealth means, you know, an iPhone or a Mercedes, you know, steel, oil, all these things, these wonderful substances. It's also called the Iron Age. It's interesting. You know, Kali Yuga is defined sometimes as the age of quarrel, where people are doing breaking the four regulated principles and everything like that. But it's also described by Srila Prabhupada sometimes as the Iron Age. It's interesting, that word, iron. Because then, you know, things are made of steel, and instead of natural substances. And even the steel mills, I don't know if anyone here has ever been in a steel mill. They're hellish places, where you have this molten metal being mixed with other metals and oxidized and everything like that just to produce steel. And so you have like a complete disruption. The earth is completely upset now. I guarantee you Bhumi is upset. And therefore, that's one reason why you're not getting so much natural resources, and one reason why people in certain parts of the world are hungry or exploited or whatever. Another reason is the unequal distribution of the resources. Like we know from the Upanishads, Nityo Nityanam, Sveta Shratara Upanishads, Nityo Nityanam, Chetas Chetananam, Eko Bahunam, Yovadadati Kamam, that Krishna is actually supplying all the needs to all the living entities since time immemorial. Nityo Nityanam, there's one supreme eternal, and there's many plural eternals, and the plural eternals are getting all their needs. And just like I was actually just listening to a class where Prabhupada said, you know, even the elephant, he gets his needs. He eats 100 tons or whatever, you know, tons of food a day. And we can eat maybe a few ounces, or if we're really enthusiastic, a few pounds a day. Of course, nowadays in the Western world, people are overeating. And even in India, it's considered a sign of opulence if you're fat. Did you know that? Like in India, like if you're overweight, they think, oh, you're actually opulent. That means you're rich and opulent. So therefore, Krishna has arranged so that everyone's provided. So why are people starving now? And Prabhupada primarily explains it as the hoarding of different foodstuffs, or the unequal distribution, or even the whole system of closing the borders of one country to another. I was listening to Srila Prabhupada explain that in many countries there's so much land, so much fertile land, yet we're not allowing people to move from one country to another, this whole national consciousness that we're thinking, you know, thinking I'm Canadian, I'm U.S. citizen, or I'm U.K. citizen, and so many, this whole system of border controls is very, very interesting. Because it's simply another version of materialistic consciousness. Like, of course, first there's the consciousness, I am this body, then my family is important, then my village is important, and ultimately my race or my city is important, and then ultimately my country is important, and it even expands to the point of the humanism. Human beings are important, and they can be exploited by other living entities. So therefore, that's another reason why people actually are starving today. You know, we can't deny that in many places in the world. Because of this. Prabhupada, there was in India, it was interesting, one time there was a lot of starvation in India. And Prabhupada said the starvation is because people, the businessmen, are hoarding the grains. And Prabhupada said the solution is, Indira Gandhi was in charge at that point. Prabhupada said the solution is that Indira Gandhi should kill all the hoarders and distribute the grains to everyone. So there's sufficient foodstuffs. Another reason why people are starving, other than the whole business aspect that people are hoarding things, is that people are eating meat. That's a big reason, because it's very inefficient to be feeding people meat, apart from the karmic problem, apart from the health problem, apart from the ethical problem. You know, there's many problems with eating meat. It's not only karma. There's karma, health, ethics, morality, etc. Most people don't realize that. I mean, even devotees sometimes. Like I was asking some children the other day, why don't we eat meat? And they said, because we're vegetarians. In other words, they were defining the thing by the very thing. So many devotees, if you ask them, why don't you eat meat? Well, because we're supposed to follow four regulated principles. But there's reasons, there's ethical, moral, etc. reasons. So Getting back to the economic reason, which is what I'm dealing with right now, it takes like 16 times the amount of land to provide a meat-based diet, and so many times more water and other natural resources. The earth, and Srila Prabhupada said this, the earth could feed many, 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 many times more people than we have right now. So there's this idea that people, as we so-called progress in material life, we have to start eating more of a meat-based diet. That's the propaganda all over the world. So you'll find countries where previously there wasn't a meat-based diet, like China and other countries, at least not a red meat-based diet, that they're starting to imitate the Western world. And so, therefore, the Earth's resources are becoming more and more scarce. So I'm giving a variety of reasons why things are becoming scarce. People are starving on the Earth planet. The Earth is revolting against all these people. We're having all these natural disasters, like hurricanes and tornadoes, and what to speak of global warming, what to speak of the rising of the sea levels. I don't know how close to the sea level Vancouver is, but certainly this property is probably pretty close to the sea level, right? Isn't it? I mean, you just go a little bit under the earth, and then there's water, and it's pregnant. You can see waves in the land here. It's so close to the sea. So let's say, I mean, even this property, let's say the sea levels rise by 1 meter. Everybody knows what a meter is. So basically, we're going to be swimming here to the temple, right? So I'm not suggesting what we should do or not do. I'm just saying, so there's so many things that are occurring due to man's improper use of the resources. So this particular story is interesting because Vena was also like us in improperly using the earth's resource, not us as devotees, hopefully not. And the earth was responding in a way that even after Vena was killed, that she was traumatized by having to deal with people. So King Prithu, previously in this portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, had to chase after the earth and convince the earth, at least even threaten the earth, so that she could start producing the grains and all the jewels and everything like that again. So this is the background of this particular case. So King Prithu, another point is, there's actually several very interesting points here. King Prithu is receiving all these things, yet he is not becoming enamored by those things. Because generally, in this world, if one has power, if one has opulence, one becomes enamored by those particular items. Queen Kunti talks about that. What did she say? Janma Aishwarya. Shutasya Shibir Edamana Adapuman. She says that when one has a lot of wealth, or one has so-called good birth, I mean, in India you find this a lot. In the West, you don't find people bragging about their birth that much, do you?
No.
I mean, Canada, you don't, or in America, you don't see people saying, well, I was born in the Smith family. What's your Gotra? Smith. Or Jones, you know. So this is a very Indian type of example, because in India they always ask you, "What's your Gotra?" And or caste, which is very similar. And even they arrange marriages or stop marriages from being arranged depending upon whether there's compatible Gotras or compatible castes, even within the same Varna, which is quite interesting. I've seen this in Gujarat, where they have people, there's all sorts of different castes within, let's say, even the Vaishya Varna, and they'll stop the marriage because of that. Chanakapanda says that one should accept a wife who's qualified even if she's in a lower caste. So, I was talking about the Varnas. Does it go back a little bit? Remember what I was talking about? Oh yeah, here. So the point is that one who receives, oh, we're talking about Janmaishvarya Shrutasya Shibir, one who receives, has a good birth, or so-called good birth, but good caste, or opulence, which is being mentioned here, Shrutasya, one who is very intelligent, or one who is very attractive, beautiful, strong, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't think you know who he is. Anyone who's like that, they become very proud of what they possess. And then the one who has, especially power, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So King Kritu here is receiving all these gifts, yet he is remaining completely Krishna conscious. Of course, one reason is that he's considered an incarnation of the Lord, Shaktivesh Avatar. Another reason is that as a devotee, he's remembering that Isha Vashyam Idam Sarvam Yakincha Jagjam Jagat Tena Jaktena Bunjita Magridhad Kashusvidnanam, that everything is given or lent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and people are giving their quotas, and they're meant, everything they were given is meant to be used by or for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, he's not thinking, these things are mine. This is a great danger, to receive things in this world, as we mentioned. And we as devotees, this is getting down to the practical point, we as devotees get opulence due to the performance of our devotional service. And oftentimes, this opulence deviates us from our Krishna consciousness. Let me explain exactly what I mean. This is making reference to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who talks about how anarthas arise in the heart of a devotee. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says anarthas, anartha means unwanted things, things that deviate us from devotional service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says anarthas come from sinful activities, pious activities, offenses, and what we're talking about here is opulences that come, or byproducts of bhakti yoga. So when we're performing Krishna consciousness properly, we may get respect from people, we may get donations, we may get a position, and these things may go to our heads. That means, you understand, going to your head? And therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that these things can cause us to deviate from devotional service. I'll give you a practical example. Let's say someone in the Krishna consciousness movement is a guru. You know, I happen to have that position. So as a guru, you receive so much praise from disciples. Everyone talks about your lotus feet, right? After a while, you may believe that you have lotus feet. After a while, you may actually take your socks off and do a yoga posture so you can put your foot on your own head. You understand? Yoga posture. You may become enamored. Or, like as a guru, people write so many nice things about you. The gurus in the Krishna conscious movement generally receive a Vyasa Puja book every year. And in that book, so many nice things are written. Can you imagine that? A book just about you every year? Wouldn't you all like that? No? Every year there's a book with pictures of you. I mean, everyone likes to show their photographic album to other people, right? Well, this is me when I was a baby. This is me when I was 10 years old. This is me when I was graduating. So if you get a book about yourself every year, or even more often, with pictures of yourself, I mean, that's going to contribute to false prestige, right? Unless one is very, very careful. So this is a great danger. And not only in the position of guru, but any position, one can become proud very, very easily. A preacher can become proud very easily because we have the highest philosophy. We've been given the best philosophy by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And basically, we can defeat anyone, even an erudite college professor. You know, someone with a PhD. Of course, PhD sometimes means piled higher and deeper. So, but we've been given something that really is not due to our own effort. It's not ours, but it's actually coming from Krishna, given something to utilize in Krishna's service. It's a philosophy, a position, power, prestige. And if we're not very careful, that pride can lead to a downfall. It can lead to misuse of one's own position. And we've seen that. We've seen that in our movement. You know, people who have positions, then they may start to at least lord it over other people, in the name of Krishna consciousness, lose compassion in their dealings. This is very, very dangerous. Therefore, to avoid that, we need to have good sadhana. We need to be praying to Krishna. We need to be alert all the time. Otherwise, we will be deviated from Krishna consciousness. As Krishna says in the Gita, Bhogaishvarya Prasaktivantai, Taya Prita Chetasam, Vyavasayatmakavudhiya, Samadho Navatiyate. He says the one who is attached, becomes attached to the things of this world, Bhoga and Aishvarya, or anything of this world. Bhoga means enjoyment, Aishvarya means opulence or position. Bhoga Aishvarya Prasaktanam, one who becomes attached to these things, then his mind becomes deviated. Taya aprita chetasam. Chetasam means consciousness or mind. And then vyavasayatmakabuhir, the determination that one has in one's intelligence is lost. Samadho navadhyate. He cannot remain focused anymore. So here King Prithu is acting as a proper devotee and doing everything on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not becoming proud. Just one final point about what Srila Prabhupada says here. It's very interesting in the purport. He says, Prabhupada says, I'm taking part of a sentence. This is the final point of the class. The higher classes, like the Brahmins and like the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, would gather pearls, jewels, and coral. Now, interesting, Prabhupada didn't say the Brahmins. He said the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. So, just to reiterate the point, if one wants to maintain, retain, or establish oneself on the Brahminical platform, one has to not be acquiring things in this world. Like when a Brahmin would receive charity, he would give away basically everything he received, and he wouldn't hoard things. Whereas the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, because they're influenced by the modes of passion or mixed modes of passion and ignorance, they have this concept of hoarding things, whereas a Brahmin is voluntarily austere. Samadhamak dapaksho cham shanti rajvam eva cha gyanam vigyanam astikyam brahma karma swabhavajam. So this whole point of gathering pearls, jewels, and coral, that's only meant for Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are not allowed to have a lot of wealth because they'll misuse it. So it's Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, they do that. And the Brahmanas, they just live day to day depending on the Supreme Personality. Got it? But here, Prithu Maharaj is a Kshatriya, obviously. That's why it's called Prithu Maharaj. The name Maharaj is actually a Kshatriya term. Traditionally, the word Maharaj was not used for sannyasis. Did you know that? Traditionally, it wasn't. Because the word Maharaj means great king or great passion. One of two things. So it's not a traditional name for sannyasis, although we use it nowadays. It has been used for a while. But, for example, you don't have Lord Chaitanya being referred to in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as Chaitanya Maharaj. You don't find that. Interesting, isn't it? Never says Chaitanya Maharaj. So it's actually a term generally for kings, but nowadays we use it. Although the sannyasis should not be kings, should not be passionate, sannyasis should be brahminical. So Prithu Maharaj is actually acting as a proper kshatriya, receiving everything to utilize and administering things with the idea that Ishavasham Idam Sarvam Yakincha Jagajam Jagat. Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, meant to be used for Him. So, any questions or comments about any of these points? Quite a few points in class. Yes.
The point that you say about the use of the word Maharaj in Vaishnavism, when did it begin then?
I don't know exactly historical context, but for example, the sannyasis in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, did not dress like this traditionally. This was started by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for preaching. Traditionally, like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they dressed in the very short
loincloth.
It's like a loincloth or... it's a very short white garment. And they had like a wrap on the top. And that was the sannyas dress. And that's how Lord Chaitanya dressed too. So the saffron, this style of dress was adapted by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur from South India, from Srirangam. He went to South India to study the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And because he wanted to understand how to preach Krishna consciousness. Because if someone is going to travel all over the world and preach Krishna consciousness, it would not be so good to be wearing a loincloth. Like if you come in the airport in Canada. I mean, of course, you wouldn't have to go through much security. Because they wouldn't have to go through the metal detector or anything because they could see what you were wearing. But at the same time, it's not good for presenting to the public in the Western world or around the world or even in India. So for preaching, we adapted this style of dress. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur adapted the style of dress. So there's a lot of adaptations for preaching Krishna consciousness. I don't know exactly when the word Maharaja was used, but it is generally, it's taken as a king's name. Just the very etymological significance. In other words, you derive the meaning from Maha. Maha means big. Raj means king, but Raj also means Rajaguna. So the king, Kshatriya is in Rajaguna, so he's called Maharaj. Doesn't exactly mean great, passionate one. Yes.
Say that the usage of the word takes precedence over the etymology.
Yes, the usage of the word takes precedence.
Previously, the great sadhu was called Mahasaya.
Mahasaya. Yeah.
This is very special.
Yeah.
It's not Maharaj at all.
Yeah, it wasn't
it's
Maharaj.
The dress.
Yeah, Narottama Das Thakur is Mahasaya. Yeah.
Great one,
yeah, but
it's more like Mahatma.
Yeah, it's like Mahatma. Yeah. Mahatma, Mahasaya, same thing.
Yeah,
it means that shelter. It means, oh great shelter, the person who's giving shelter. So, yeah, that's... But now, we have the common usage, so we use the word Maharaj. No one's called me Mahasaya yet. Well, maybe not as qualified. But, generally we didn't call Prabhupada Mahasaya. We didn't call Prabhupada... We said Prabhupada's a Mahatma, but it wasn't part of his name. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, like that. Yes. Yeah, about the goat... Well, we follow China, like Prabhupada was quoting from Chanakya Panda, that one should accept gold from a filthy place, or one could accept a qualified wife, of course, not if one's a sannyasi, but one should accept a qualified wife, even if from a lower caste. So that's, Prabhupada was fond of quoting that particular verse. And some of the injunctions, actually, you're pointing out making a very interesting point. Some of the injunctions are made or written down for people who are attached to ritualistic things. For example, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's a statement that if a guru from a higher caste is available, one should not accept a guru from a lower caste. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, listen, I'm going to qualify that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I think it's in the Krishna Sangita, I'd have to research, but I know Bhakti, I was reading this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that this injunction is just for those who are attached to castes. It's not actually for those who are, you know, just transcendentalists or have a proper understanding. But much of the injunctions, the Prabhupada said much of the injunctions in the Hari Bhakti Vilas are meant for people who are attached to caste consciousness or ritualistic consciousness. So it's not that we should be so caste conscious. I mean, first of all, in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhavat, that everybody is Shudra by birth. So this whole caste consciousness, I see many Chaturvedis and Trivedis that were engaged in eating chicken. I mean, so what is the caste? Plus, even if you consider, let's say the caste is important, you can lose your caste by doing, if you eat meat, you lose your caste immediately. Chicken. Whatever your caste was, you lost. If you work for someone of lower caste, let's say you work for IBM, not to criticize IBM, but if you work for IBM as a Shudra, then you've lost your caste. There's many ways you can lose your caste too. This is quite an interesting thing. Like for example, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they were from a very high caste, Saraswati caste. Ultimately, their family was from South India and their family moved to Bengal. And because they had worked for the Nawab Hussein Shah, the Muslim government, they considered they had lost their caste. And they didn't even enter into the temple in Jagannath Puri. It's interesting, isn't it? So, but they were respecting the present culture. It's not that actually they were low caste. They were actually they're pure devotees, Nityasiddha devotees. I mean, Manjari gopis in the spiritual world. What to speak of Haridas Thakur? I mean, Haridas Thakur appeared in the Muslim family. So, in the Kali Yuga, these castes are not significant. What caste the people are in? Yes. Yeah, now Vaishnavas are pure Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmin. That's automatic. Although we do have different propensities, we don't want to get into a discussion of Varnashram right now, but we have different propensities. But everyone is a Vaishnava. In if they're a Vaishnava, if they're actually functioning as a Vaishnava. But this caste consciousness, I mean, for example, it's gone to the extent that they won't allow members of the Krishna conscious movement to enter the Jagannath temple in Puri because we're not born in India. I mean, it's just like, huh? And then they ask, you know, in many temples in India, you go to the temple, they ask, you know, what's your gotra? Prabhupada said to say to them, we're a chuta gotra. And they really become bewildered when you say that. I've experienced that. Go into the temple. What's your gotra? A chuta gotra, huh? Who's your father? Srila Prabhupada. You don't look like it. At least with me, you know, I don't look like it. But so this whole caste consciousness. I mean, Kali Yuga, everyone basically is a mixed caste. I mean, there's some exceptions, but just about everyone is mixed caste of unknown origin. And everyone becomes. We're proud of our birth or whatever, but it's, who knows? I mean, you should go get your genes tested. Nowadays, you can actually spit into a test tube and send it to a laboratory, and they'll tell you what your background is and what diseases you're subject to. That's called gene testing. Sounds exciting. They'll tell you, everyone's interested in your roots. This is the whole thing about roots, too, you know. Who was your grandfather, great-great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather? What if you discover there was a monkey there somewhere? It'd be very discouraging. So the point is, Mahatmanas tuvam partha daivam prakritim ashrita bhajan jinanya manaso ketva bhutadam avyam. That's what Krishna says. The Mahatma, he gives a definition of Mahatma as always someone who's always chanting about his glories, endeavoring with great determination. This is Krishna's statement. Basically we're not interested in caste, but we are interested in people's propensities in Daivi Varnashram. You know, everyone has a different propensity. Just like, you know, I'm sitting here giving class, so someone may like to build Rath Yatra carts. It's not that one is better than another one. It's just a question of people being engaged according to their psycho-physical nature. Srila Prabhupada said that's important. Anyway, don't worry about your caste. You know, I have one friend. He's from Gujarat. And so, you know, his last name is Topiwala, which means hat salesman. You know, so imagine going around your whole life. I'm a hat salesman. And in the Jewish religion, it's very similar to Hinduism, because the name actually indicates what their varna or caste was before. Like you have someone by the name of Goldstein. Goldstein means someone who works with gold, or Goldberg, or something like that. So you find many similarities in Judaism to at least the names, because you find the names indicate what occupation you have in India too. Like gold, what is it? Gold again in India. Kanaga. No, but there's another name. That's the Sanskrit name. Suvarna Vanak or something, gold merchant. That's in Bengal. And then, And then you have a diamond, Hiralo. And it's interesting when people come from India, that's a Gujarati name, of course. I have one friend, his name in India was Hiralo. So then he took an American name, Mr. Diamond. You know, who's in charge of this motel? Mr. Diamond. You know, it's like we change our names to spiritual names, so people come from India and they change their names to mundane names. Babu Bhai becomes Bob. Hi, Bob. You know, or Sam. Soma Bhai becomes Sam, right? So it's interesting. So there was another question out there?
No, I was just going to comment talking about irony, and all the Jewish names are German.
Yeah.
That is a very just joke.
Yeah, the Jewish name is Yiddish, you know, Yiddish.
Yeah, Yiddish,
Yiddish, which is a mixture of German and Hebrew. Yeah. It's a mixture, Yiddish is a mixture of like Hebrew and German. It's a strange mixture.
Actually, even within, like, my parents are Russian.
Yeah.
And our last name is Koniko. Koni means horse. Koniko, keeper of horses.
Keeper of horses.
Yeah, so also, it's, you know. So it's a matrix. And even in the English, in the old days of England, very few of the common class had a last name. There was just John. Oh, what's he? John, what does he do? Well, he's a baker, John the Baker.
Uh-huh.
John Baker, John Carpenter.
Smith. Yeah, Carpenter, Baker, Smith.
Yeah. So, it's interesting how, you know.
It's interesting. Yeah, they indicate the previous occupations.
Whereas Srila Prabhupada stresses so many times within his books, we're not into names. All these names are simply material designations, but simply we're interested in our spiritual aspect and in reuniting with the great spiritual aspect, Radha Krishna. So, name is...
Yeah, it's not important. I mean, people would even criticize Prabhupada because there's generally a Vaishya family, Prabhupada came in.
Yeah.
And said, you accepted a Vaishya spirit. You know, that's a great offense.
Yeah.
Acharyamam Piganyan Navamanyeta Karichit Namarchibudya Suyeta Sarvadev Maya Guru. If one considers the Guru to be of a particular caste, It's actually an offense, according to Krishna. Yeah.
But the final beauty is that Krishna is supposedly, quote unquote, a
Vaishya. He's a Vaishya. We're worshipping a Vaishya.
And not of such a high class either.
Too bad. We got to change gods.
Wonderful.
That's why when Krishna wanted to get food from the brahmanas and performing ritualistic ceremonies, he told the coward boys to ask him the name of Balaram. Because Balaram was known as a kshatriya. So he said, you know, ask him Balaram's name instead of my name, because I'm just a Vaishya. They're not going to give to me. So it's interesting. Yeah, God is a Vaishya.
And God's favorite friend is a brahmana, Madhu Mangala. He's the biggest joker, and that's a good joke.
Yeah, and Krishna hangs around with a bunch of ladies. Don't follow Krishna's example. But, yeah. All right, so I guess any other questions, quick questions? It's interesting. Interesting points. Okay, all glories to His divine grace. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Shri Radha, Madan Mohan, Ki Jai.